Father, we just want to thank you, Lord God, for who you are, Lord God. And Lord, I just have the impression that you just, Lord God, want to release the word of the Lord God, this word upon this church, Lord God, that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that they may be glorified. They shall build up ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. Strangers shall stand and tend your flocks. Foreigners shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But you shall be called the priest of the Lord. They shall speak of you as the ministers of our God. Father, we just want to pray, Lord God, for the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of power and might, the Spirit of the fear of God to be released on this church in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray, Lord God, that people will understand that it's the gift of God, Lord. It's God's presence, that the Spirit in us is bigger than anything in the world, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, for a love, Lord God, that will overcome all fear, Lord, in this church, Lord God, that people will, when they go out, know that they are the light of the world, that the Spirit that created the heavens and earth is in them, is with them, to help us in everything we do. Lord God, I pray, Lord God, for a boldness to lay hands on the sick, because you said, those who believe in my name, you will cast out demons, you will pray in new tongues, you will lay hands on the sick and they will be healed. Father, you said we will pray for lepers and they will be cleansed. We will lay hands on the dead and they will be raised in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for an impartation of great faith, Lord God, that where we go and we pray, we know that the word of God will not return void to us in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, for the spirit of prophecy that rests upon this church, Lord, to know that where they go and they speak the words of God, that it's God's word and not their own, but stand in faith for great things to come in the name of Jesus. Amen. Just when you were worshipping, when you were worshipping, there was a few things that just confirmed my message. So it's almost amazing when God just confirms before you have to say something. It's great that God speaks through all of us. I think most of you were here this morning. But in the beginning of this year, or at the end of last year, the 30th of December, there's a guy in our church. He's a very strong guy, but he's very violent, and he started coming to our church. And this guy, I just loved this guy. I really loved him, but he had a big problem, much heavy rejection. He was in drugs, and he was quite a violent guy, and he wanted to fight a lot. But then we prayed for him and we did the foundations with him, and I told you about this friend that died, because this guy, he actually lied to me, I realized later, but he told me that he, and when he told me this, I got a huge fright, because he shared that he had killed people. So now I'm confronted with this guy and I really want to help him and I really want to show Jesus to him. And then in December, after my friend died, he completely fell back, because this friend of mine, I asked him, we did the Foundations 3 course, and I asked him to come with me to facilitate just this guy, because I didn't want anyone to know. And my friend, because he was came from a gangster background, I knew he would not be frightened with what this young man might say. And he shared, and I think he got a lot of deliverance. And between F3 and F4, my friend Morris died. And this boy was very thrown by what had happened to him, because he was drawn in by Morris quite a lot. And then in December, he just completely fell back. He started drinking and he got drunk and he got arrested and he was in jail for a night. And then he came to my house, but he was drunk and he had wine between his legs, but he came to my house. So I was a bit, what now? And I went to him in the car and he took me and he wanted to go and buy cigarettes. So I did something I don't like doing, to buy someone cigarettes. But I went to my house quickly, got money and in the car, but I wanted him to get, I wanted him away from my children. And so we went to the cafe and I was just speaking to him and he said to me his boy died. His son died. He had an affair with a girl. She fell pregnant. They never got married, but that child had died. And then we were talking, but now he's drunk. And then I said to him, I can just pray for you. And as I prayed for him, he started swearing at me. And he said, at least you have children. And I'm like, no, this guy is threatening my family. And I'm getting really nervous. And I looked at him, and I could see this demon speaking to me. And I was afraid, because I thought he was going to shoot me, he was going to kill me. So eventually he got out of the car. I got out of the car and I walked home, and he drove home. And then I phoned a man that was in deliverance ministry that I knew, and I was speaking to him on the phone. And my wife was seeing me, and she saw the fear in my eyes. And I've never been afraid, never. But she saw the fear in my eyes. And she looked at me, and she said, what are you doing? You know, like that. And I'm like, how we as husbands can be. It's like, what's my... You know, and I'm speaking to this guy, and then she's like getting more and more nervous. Why are you speaking to this man? So eventually, instead of praying for 3 hours, we fought for 3 hours. You know, we passed ourselves very spiritual. So we had this massive fight, and then 8 o'clock that night, I just said, stuff this, I cannot take this anymore. So I took my shofar and a bottle of water, not wine, and I walked up the mountain, and then now my wife is frightened, because it's dark and I'm going up Howlerberg Mountain, and I just walk up and I say, God help, Lord help, help, God help, I cannot do this anymore, I can't stand alone anymore, I'm just taking too many knocks. I cannot do this anymore. There's no unity, and I'm trying to preach unity, but there's no unity from nowhere. Eventually, up there on the mountain, I didn't see a huge angel. I didn't see anything really like that, but something changed. And I just walked down, and I started proclaiming God's goodness as I came down. And the next morning, Lynette woke me up at 7:30. Now, I came home at 2 o'clock that morning, so 7:30 is quite early. And she said, do you want to pray? I said, and we prayed, and a lot changed since then. Yes, we had one or two fights after that again, but since we started praying, things started turning quite drastically for us. And then on Friday, there was a lady that, when our boy, just after, because he had cancer, that's what he had. He had to go for chemo for a long time. And then he had this hernia operation, and then there was this lady, her son in our church didn't want to get baptized because of what his mother would say. And then he got baptized. The mother was there, and she was with the father, and they were not very happy with this. And then just after that, she was diagnosed with cancer. And then we baptized her just after that, and she died a week and a half ago. She was 12 years older than I am. And but we were praying for them, and there were so many things that we're praying for and we don't get breakthrough. I don't know if anyone can identify with me, but we pray for healing and we pray for these big things and it's not coming through. And I'm, God, why? What is wrong? And I'm searching God, even with this guy as well. We come for deliverance, and now he is intimidating me. I've got to do foundations one, and he makes a joke and I get thrown completely, and I cannot do an altar call. And there's a lady that came to me that morning. I said, just come this afternoon, you can, because a child was with her. I didn't feel it was the right time to lead her to the Lord. We could do it in F1. And sorry, Yana, I'm just going to throw it down. And that we can do it like that. And then she walked out, and it was just disaster upon disaster. And I'm not seeing the breakthrough of God in our lives. So I'm going to God, Lord, why are we not seeing the breakthrough in the Bible? You say if we believe greater things than you, we would do all these things. And I just sense God saying to me, you know, you're coming to me because you want stuff. You're not coming to me because you want to know me. I'm like, oof, okay. Now, I've got to know God. Now, I've got to learn to know God. And where do you start? Because you think you know God, but he's saying to me, get to know me. And then Philip, I don't know if you remember him, he said, we had lunch at his house, and he said, you know, his little boy, he comes, he goes to do Johannesburg quite a lot, and when he comes home, he always brings him a present. And then one day, many times after work, he'll bring his boy a present. And his boy came to him, and then he gives him, and his boy is so glad with him, and then he walks away. And then he said that one day he came, and he didn't have anything, and his boy looked at him like this, oh, and he walked away. And we looked at one another, and we said, isn't that how we are? We come to God having these expectations, then he doesn't give us this gift, and then we're like, oh, and we walk away. So now I'm searching God, because I realize when I preach as well, I bring a message where I'm giving the people something, and they've got to react and do something. I don't know if you know what I'm saying. You know, we bring these instructions that we believe are from God to the people, and they must react to it and then come back to us. So now we must just bring God. We must just bring who God is. When we come into his presence, everything changes. That this is where I'm just seeing a difference in what I believe God wants to do with me. So when I looked at this, I just went to Exodus 3, where God appeared to Moses with a burning bush. It says the angel of the Lord, I believe it's Jesus. It's Jesus. Moses sees the bush, it's burning, it doesn't get destroyed. He sees the bush, he looks at it, and then the angel speaks to him and says, Moses, this is holy ground, take off your sandals. He realizes this is God, he's on his knees, he's very afraid. God says to him, I've seen the affliction of my people, I've seen their cry because of their taskmasters, I know their cries, I've come to deliver you. Now I sent you to go to Pharaoh, to go and face your fears. And with me as well, with this guy, I had to pray to overcome fear. My wife always struggled with fear, and I said, no man, just no faith. You don't have faith. Now I know what fear is. If you have fear, you cannot deal with it. It's just overwhelming. It's easy to say, have faith when you have no fear. But when you have fear, it's very difficult to say, love overcomes fear. When you're standing there and your heart is doing like this, because you think you might die. So Abram, now Moses is very worried, and he says to God, God, when the people ask me who you are, what is your name, what should I tell them? And God says, tell them I am who I am, and say to them, the people I am has sent you to me, or sent me to you. And then God said to him, say to the people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, has sent me. This is my name forever. The word I am is in Hebrew very similar to the word Yahweh in Hebrew. And when he said I am, and my name, the Lord, Yahweh, and I am, that this everyone in the Jewish culture knew that God was speaking about Yahweh, the most sacred name that one shouldn't pronounce. And normally they would just say Adonai, but not Yahweh, because the name was so sacred. But the word I am means that God is self-existent. He's not dependent on anything or anyone. He's the creator and sustainer of everything that is in earth. The other day I got a thought, if God created everything, who created God? And then I realized, yeah, that this God was there from the beginning. He's the creator and sustainer of everything. He was right from the beginning. He's unchanged in his being and character. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's eternal in his existence. He will never change. He's all-knowing. God created Chuck Norris. Chuck Norris serves God. God is awesome. God is really awesome. So from this, the I am, I saw that there are seven I am statements in John. I don't know if you knew that, but there's seven I am statements where Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And when he said I am, the Jews knew he was referring to Exodus 3. So when he said I am the bread of life, he was referring to that Exodus. So he was saying, I am God. I am Yahweh. I am the light of the world. I am the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. So, and you'll see every time he said that, there was people that was being drawn to him, and there was people being offended by him. People were either coming to him, or people were either being, he was either attracting or retracting people as he was speaking to them. In the first statement in John 6 verse 35, he says, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. This is Passover. And what I also see when Jesus speaks with these statements, it's always to do with one of the festivals. And I don't know if you know anything about the festivals, the Jewish festivals, but Jesus came to fulfill the festivals because all the festivals were pointing to the Messiah. And then Jesus comes and he comes to fulfill himself in the festival. So when he says, I am the bread of life, this is they say it's Passover. It's probably the feast of unleavened bread, which is the day after Passover. Jesus Christ was crucified on Passover. I don't know if you know that. Then there were 7 days where there was a feast of unleavened bread, where they would eat unleavened bread. They would be very sin conscious, looking at the sin in their life, knowing that they've got to cleanse their house, they've got to cleanse who they are. So in this festival, and this was going on for 7 days, there was a crowd came together, 5,000 of them. They're very hungry and they've got nothing to eat. There's a boy with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. It's the festival of unleavened bread, and Jesus says, do they have anything to eat? And the boy comes with a bread, and they bring it to Jesus. He breaks the bread and he gives it to the disciples, and they start handing it out. And 5,000 people with their wives eat, and there's 12 baskets that's left over of leftovers. Then Jesus is afraid, or is tired of the crowd, and he goes away from them. The disciples get into the boat and they go across the water. The crowd looks at him, they stand back. And eventually, the next day, they also go into the boats to cross the water to go and see if Jesus is on the other side. On the other side, they see Jesus, but he didn't go with them on the boat. But the disciples knew he was walking on water, so they got the fright of their life. Here Jesus is. He just multiplied 5 loaves of bread. He walked on water, and now he's saying, I am the bread of life. These guys came to Jesus. They come walking to him, and they said to him, is Lord, they start talking to him, and he says, yes, my father gave you manna in the desert, and the manna came from heaven. Here's one that's bigger than that. I am the bread of life. I am the one that sustains you. I am the one that will sustain you in everything that you do. Don't seek this, what I'm giving to you. And this is what he said to them is, you come to me because you want food. You don't come to me because of who I am or what I can bring to you. You want to be fed by me. You don't come because I am the Messiah. What I can bring to you. But if you come to me, I will give you that will sustain you forever and ever. And then, now there's these religious people, and I realized in myself, I've become a religious person because I don't hang out with unsaved people as I used to anymore. It's more comfortable for me to be with people who are Christians. And then these religious people like me says to Jesus, but Jesus, you know, and they start arguing with him, and he says to them, look guys, if you cannot eat my flesh and drink my blood, you cannot have part of me. Now they're offended and they walk away from Jesus. And he says to the other disciples, do you want to go as well? It's no, God, you have the words of eternal life. So now people are either coming to him or people are being pushed away with him. And I see it's every time the religious people, because they're trying to box him in, they're not seeking him for who he is, They want to figure him out in his mind, and if he's out of their box, they could offend it and they walk away. And I just, for us, all of us, that it's that we must come to Jesus for who he is, and if we must change, we change, because he's eternal. He's the same every day, yesterday, today, and forever. The next statement is, I am the light of the world. In John 8 verse 12, he says again, Jesus spoke to them and said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. There's two stories that goes with this statement. The one, the adulterous woman, and the other one is a blind man. The adulterous woman was in spiritual darkness. She comes, they bring her to Jesus. They say, Jesus, this woman was caught in adultery. Now she must be stoned. And Jesus says, yes, the one who has no sin, you can cast the first stone. So what I'm seeing, yes, this woman was in darkness, spiritual darkness, but also these men, because they came with a religious mindset again. They wanted to crucify her. They wanted to kill her because of her sin, but yet they had sin in their own hearts. Then there's this other man. He's blind. He comes to Jesus, and Jesus he spits in the ground. He takes the mud, and he puts it on his eyes, and he says, go and wash your eyes in that pool of Siloam. And then this man goes to this pool to wash his eyes, and all the priests are there taking out water. And this is part of the Feast of Tabernacles. And the Feast of Tabernacles has got to do with two things. Lights, they put on all these candles, and water. Now, when they come to get the water, this blind man comes to get water to wash his eyes. And now they confront it. This man was blind, now he can see. They ask him, say, who is this that prayed for you? And he says, Jesus prayed for me. He says, but he's a sinner. He says, I don't know. But what I do know is I was blind and now I can see. So Jesus says, I am the light of the world. So he brings light in darkness, and he brings light in spiritual darkness as well. Where Jesus is, darkness gets overcome by his marvelous light. Then also when Jesus says, and I just want to add into what you were saying, that stream of water where you were seeing us, I believe it's Jesus. We were standing next to Jesus. We were dancing next to him, because he is the living water. He says, at the last day of the feast, this is the Feast of Tabernacles, Jesus stood up and he cried, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. It's just this place that we filled with the Spirit of God, and out of us flow this living water. This was in the middle of the Feast of Tabernacles that he was saying. But then, now these people, these religious people come to him and they say, yeah, but Jesus, what about Abram and Abram's seed, and we are from Abram? And then Jesus says, but yes, Abram, I can't remember exactly what he said, but he said, but you are not even 50 years old. How can you know Abram? And he said, before Abram was, I am. Now they want to kill him again. So I can see either people are being attracted to him or they're being retracted by him. And if we are religious about Jesus, we're going to be offended by him. We're going to get offended by Jesus. We probably would want to stone him as well. The third statement, I am the door of the sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. And verse 9, John 10:9, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. And he will go in and out and find pasture. This is just before, this is just after the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement was in the time of the Feast of Tabernacles. The high priest could only for one day go into the temple in the Holies of Holies. And then he would wear all the special clothes. He had underpants that he put on. It was from linen, white linen. I don't know if you knew that. But then it's like you put on your salvation. You make a decision. You put it on. And then another white garment that you put on, which is the cloak of righteousness. So when you put on, you make the decision, God comes from atop and he gives you the righteousness. But then the high priest had another cloak, which he used to wear. It's a blue cloak. And that represents the Holy Spirit. At the bottom of the cloak there was a bell and a pomegranate, which is the Spirit the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. Gift of the Spirit, fruit of the Spirit. So you can't have, you have both because you have the Holy Spirit. And then there's a turban on his head and there's a breastplate of 12 stones on him as well. But he went through this cleansing ritual, and then he would go in the holies of holies to make atonement for the sins of Israel. Now on this day of atonement, he would go in, make a decision. When Jesus died on the cross, that curtain that was separating the holies from the holies of holies door. And now Jesus says, I am the door. I am the door of the sheep. You enter through me. You come in through me. You don't have to be the high priest to come anymore. Now you are the high priest because I am the high priest from the order of Melchizedek. So you come through me. Now we can with boldness come into the presence of God. We don't. It's not the high priest that goes anymore. We go in through Jesus Christ. But you know the picture that I'm also getting, if there's two doors, we must make a decision. Either we're going to go through the left one or the right one. Or some of us stands here and we just look at the door. We don't want to go through the door. And there is a place that we have to make a decision to deny ourselves, to pick up our cross, and to follow him. We must go through the door because Jesus is the door. I really believe this is what he's saying to us. He is the gate. We cannot be part of his pasture if we don't go through that door. Then I am the good shepherd in John 10 verse 11. I am the good shepherd. He lays down his life for his sheep. Verse 10 of verse 14 says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father know me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. So the good shepherd, he leads us, he restores our soul, he protects us from our enemies. And he says to us, even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil. For our God, for our good shepherd is with us. He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. He anoints our heads with oil, our cup overflows. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives. He finds the lost sheep. He leaves the 99 and goes and fetches that one and he brings him back because his heart is for the lost. He didn't come for the righteous. He came for the sinners. That's the heart of God. He didn't come to judge. He came to save. He will bring healing. He will bring protection. He will bring intimacy. He will bring family. He will bring unity because that is his heart. He's a good shepherd and he loves his sheep. He loves his sheep. He loves all of us. He wants to take care of us. He wants to know that it goes well with us. If our legs get broken, he will help us so that we can get on our feet again. That's the good shepherd. He says, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. Come to me. I am the good shepherd. Doesn't matter where you go through, I will always be with you. I will fight the bear for you. I will fight the lion for you. I will war on your behalf. You don't have to go to war. I will go to war because I am the good shepherd. And the fifth statement is, I'm the resurrection and the life. Now, here's another festival. it's just before Passover again. And the first fruits is 3 days after Passover. Jesus was crucified on the feast of Passover. Then the unleavened bread starts. And then 3 days after is the fruit of first fruits. When Jesus was crucified on Passover, he got resurrected on first fruits. You see the spiritual implication of that. But before this before this festival, as people were preparing themselves for this festival, his friend Lazarus dies. And then he waits a few days, and then he goes to go and speak, or to go to Lazarus. And Mary and Martha are upset with him. Why do you only come now? And he's full of compassion. And he goes out and he prays and he says, Lazarus, come out. And then Lazarus comes out and they say, unbind him. And what's amazing to me here is because of Lazarus' testimony, the priest wanted to kill Lazarus on account of Lazarus, many people started believing in Christ. So here again, people are either coming to him or they're getting offended by him and they're walking away, from him. And then Jesus is saying, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. So Jesus is the resurrection and the life, and I believe that He will resurrect our lives. Like my brother shared with me earlier, just his testimony. God resurrects lives. He can resurrect your career. He can resurrect wherever we are. When we come to Him, He is the resurrection and life. Doesn't matter where we are, what we've gone through, how far low we've gone. If we come to Him, He will resurrect us, and we will have new life in Him. But there is a place where we have to die to ourselves so that Christ can raise us up like He raised up Lazarus. And when we go through that point, many will believe on our account because they will see the new life in us. The sixth statement is, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There's another statement. There's another festival on its way. Jesus is preparing for His crucifixion. He knows He's going to be crucified soon. He's going to die. He gets all the guys together. He's having the Last Supper with them. And now they know He just entered Jerusalem. People were singing, Hosanna the King. Hosanna the King. They know the prophecy of Jesus on the donkey has been fulfilled now in Jesus. He is the Messiah. They're sitting down with Him. They're going to have the Passover festival. And then Jesus goes and He washed the feet. This is just so Jesus for me. He comes and He washed the feet. They know He's the Messiah, but He comes to wash. He washed their feet. And He says to them, now you go and do the same. He says, someone will betray me, but I'm telling to you, I'm commanding you this. You must love one another as I have loved you. People will know that you are my disciples because of the love that you have for one another. So He's starting to encourage them, and He says to them, I must go away, but where I'm going, you cannot follow me. But I will come back for you, and I'm going to prepare a room for you in my Father's house. I wouldn't have told you this place for you, but I'm coming back to you. I'm telling you, I'm coming back for you. And then the one disciple says, but how would we know? How would we know? And then He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. How would we know how to get to you? I am the way and the truth and life. Come to me, I will do. And then He says to them, believe in me. Whoever believes in me will do greater things than I have done. Jesus now is encouraging us, saying, He will do greater things than I have done. Ask me anything in my name. Ask me anything in my name, and I will do it for you. And I will send you another helper. I will send you the Holy Spirit, and He will help you in all things. And this is just that place that I believe we are missing something, because He said we will do greater things. Whatever we ask in His name, this He will do. But we must seek Him. We must seek Him because He is the way, the truth, and the life. He says He will not leave us as orphans. He will come back for us. We will never be alone because He is the way, the truth, and the life. He will leave peace with us. And then He says, behold, I'm going away, but I'm coming back soon. And that we know that doesn't matter what we're going through, what we are going through, Jesus is coming for us, and He will not leave us. And even if you have no friends, you are not alone, because you have the Holy Spirit with us if you ask Him to be with you. Then the last statement is that I am the true vine, in John 15 verse 1. And this morning I just talked about the vine quite a bit, but that God is the creator and sustainer of everything. We cannot do this thing if it's not in Jesus. We can try to fix ourselves, but it's impossible. We can't stop sinning in our own strength. We can only come to Jesus. The more we come to Him, the more we seek Him, the less the desire we have to sin, to do bad things. Because when we come to Him, He changes us. But then Jesus says we must abide in Him and His words, and He will abide in us. And that place, from that place, is where He says to us, abide in His love. John 15 verse 12 says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love is no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Verse 14, you are my friends if you do what I command you. And Jesus says, I don't call you servants anymore. I call you friends. And for me, and a friend, a servant is someone that you give instructions to, but a friend is someone that I share, that's what the Father is telling me, and I want to share the secrets with you because you are my friend. So Jesus here is saying to us, He wants more from us than just being a master servant relationship. He wants us to be our friends. He wants to spend that time with Him, but we must abide in Him, and He will give us all these secrets. He will tell us these secrets that His Father is telling us. He will come and tell us. And then He says to us, but you will be persecuted for My name's sake, and it must happen, but I will give you another helper, and it's to your advantage that I go away, because I'll send you another helper to help you through all these things. So for me, there's just this place where Jesus is just saying to us, come to Me, abide in Me. Don't seek Me for the things you can get, but seek Me for who I am. Come to Me, because I will grow you, and I want to use you to a place where you will bear much fruit so that My Father can be glorified. And whatever you ask in My name, that I will give to you. And we pray and we don't get breakthrough, but I believe this is the key here, is that we spend the time with Jesus. We spend time with Him. I know someone like Smith Wigglesworth, he said he never prays for longer than half an hour, but there's not a half an hour that goes past that he doesn't pray. I think he prayed for 8 or 9 people that died already, that he prayed from the dead. A week before he died, he prayed for someone that was blind. Many people's lives changed because of this man, but he spent time in the presence of God. And I believe this is the key. If you really want to come to the fullness of who Christ is, to be His friend as well. Even Moses, when he met God the first time, he was frightened, but God named him My friend. But it came because of relationship, that God is seeking the relationship with Him. Revelation 22, Jesus, when He appeared to John, says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. In John 1, He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and nothing that was made was not made through Him. So Jesus, it says that Jesus was God. He was right in the beginning. He is the creator of everything. Verse 14 says, the Word became flesh and it dwelt amongst us, and we seen the glory, and the glory of the Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. And from His fullness we have received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. The law was given through Moses, and grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So when I preached this at our church, I missed it. I made a huge theological mistake, and I've got Henny there to correct me. But even before he pointed it out to me, I could say to Henny, I know I missed it there. Because there was some people in our congregation that was very hard, and they said, the truth, the truth, the truth. And their truth hurt people so much that they got offended out of the church. And I wanted to bring the balance back, that it's God's grace, His love. But it's not one or the other, it's both. And then that night, I had God TV, not anymore, but there was, Andy Stanley, and I just preached the sermon, I came home, and now I want to unwind, and I listened to what he was saying. I actually enjoy listening to him. But he had a big mug with one fluid, one color, and another fluid, a different color, and he said, grace and truth. And he's pouring it together. It's grace and truth. It's not grace or truth, it's grace and truth. And what I'm seeing is God's grace draws people to Him. But His truth, His grace draws people, but His truth, many times, pushes us away because we want to put Him in a box. Us religious people. Us religious people, me. And this is where we need to build relationship. We need to seek Him, that we don't get offended by Him, but we want to change as He wants us to change. Because He's, we did our encounter too yesterday, and the one lady said if she could meet anyone, and she said she would love to have met Mary, the mother of Jesus, because what must it be like if Jesus is your son? And I said, that must be terrible, because he's always right. As the parent, you can't discipline your child because he's right. He's God. So we had a good laugh about that. But for me, that we just come to that place that we understand the grace of God, the love of God, who God is, that His heart is grace, and that he says that we must come as we are. We mustn't try and fix ourselves. We must just come to Him, and that we understand that mercy, justice is getting what we deserve, and mercy is getting what we don't deserve. But grace is what we get if we get something that we don't deserve. And we're getting God's unmerited favor. We're getting eternal life on account of what Christ did on the cross. We're getting grace for free. It's a gift. It's for free. It's for nothing. And this is who Jesus is. He comes. His kindness, His love draws us to Him. And that is who Jesus is. And I'm just wanting to encourage you to spend time with Him, to want and search Him and ask Him to come to that place, because He wants us to come to Him. That we don't come with a religious mindset. When we go into the world, we don't go with a religious mindset. I shared this morning just this one a guy that they went to an outreach in a bar, and I laughed at them. I said, you probably felt like sin to you guys. But that we should be able to go into a bar and feel comfortable, because Christ in us is bigger than that in the world. That the spiritual atmosphere will be changed by the person whose spirit is the strongest. The spiritual atmosphere of any environment will be influenced by the spirit in the person who is the strongest. If God's spirit is in us, we should dominate wherever we go. But that's faith. So we should be able to walk in any place, like Smith Wigglesworth. He walked into a factory and people fell on the floor. They didn't know he was, but they started repenting, because the spirit in him is great faith. So I'm just that place where we come to God just and not judge people, that we, because we must be the feet and hands of Jesus. And where would He be? Because He was with the prostitutes and the tax collectors. Who are the tax collectors in our days? Who are the prostitutes in our days? Because He was with them. He wasn't in church. He didn't bring people to church to get them saved. He went out to them to get them saved. And then they bring them to the temple to get discipled. And I think this is something where we miss. We want to bring people into church and then get them saved in church. All we want to do is invite them. But that's not what God is saying. Go and make disciples. All of us, we must go and make disciples. We must, where we are, our influence must be there. And so I just want to finish with this, saying that Jesus says to us, all of us, come as you are. So it doesn't matter what is going on in your heart. It doesn't matter what sin is in your heart. Even if you're a pedophile, if you're a raper, He says, come as you are. You can't change yourself, but I can change you. Revelation 22, Jesus says, surely I'm coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. And then the last sentence in the Bible, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you all. Amen. I just want to pray. Now, Father, I thank you, Lord, that you, God, is love, Lord. Lord, that you are perfect in every way, Lord God, that you are good, Lord, that you are holy, Lord God, that you are trustworthy, that you are faithful, that you are kind and merciful, and that you are righteous in every way, Lord God. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you are good, Lord. And Father, I just want to repent, Lord God, just on my behalf, where we try to change who we are, Lord God, and we want to change people, Lord. And we want to tell them how they must be and what they must do, Lord God. And we try to be the Holy Spirit for them, Lord. And we give them instructions on the things that they must change. Except instead of when someone comes to you and say, look, I feel convicted that I must stop drinking. That we don't tell them, yes, you must stop drinking. We just say, well, that's good. Can I pray with you? That there's a difference in our mindset, that we understand your grace, God. Yes, that we never compromise the truth, Lord. And I pray, Lord God, that you will protect us, that we won't get deceived, Lord, that we will not compromise the truth in any way, that we will never compromise you, Lord, and that we will continue seeking the truth of who you are, because you are beautiful in every way, Lord God, and we want to know you more and more. And Father, we want more intimate knowledge of you. And we ask you, Lord God, for a hunger for your word, Lord. That we want to read your word more and more to know you, Lord. To know the truth. Because we know the truth will set us free, Lord. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, God. So, Lord, this evening I'm asking you, Lord God, for a relationship with the word. And I'm asking for a relationship with your spirit, Lord. Because you're saying, Lord, true worshipers will worship you in spirit and in truth, Lord. That we grow in both, Lord, grace and truth, to know you in every way we are, Lord. Father, I want to pray specifically, Lord, for Yanni and Kat, Lord God. And I want to pray just a blessing upon them, Father. Lord God, I want to pray for Yanni, and I just pray the Spirit of the Lord to be upon him, Lord God. I pray for your Holy Spirit to come mightily upon him, Lord. I pray for your wisdom, Lord God. I pray for, Lord, just the prophetic upon his life as well, Lord God. I pray for healings, Lord. I pray for discerning of spirits, Lord, words of knowledge. Lord God, we pray for great things, Lord, in Jesus' name. But Father, I pray that you'll increase his faith, Lord, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I pray for your protection upon him, Lord. I pray for great love, Lord, great love, in Jesus' name. And Lord, I want to pray over Kat, Lord. I pray for your Holy Spirit, Lord. Father, I pray for a fresh anointing now, Lord God. Father, I pray for a fresh anointing. Holy Spirit, just come upon her now, Lord. Come and rest upon her, Lord. Father, that she'll be saturated with you, Lord. Father, I pray for that little boy, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. I just speak life over this body, Lord. I speak life over this baby, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And Father, we just declare in Jesus' name that this child will be born perfectly well, Lord God. Lord, just that 5 out of 5, Lord, whether the doctor says when they come out, Lord God, that life will be over this child, that he would develop 100% in the name of Jesus, Lord. Father, as there's a new child coming, Lord God, I pray for spiritual sons and daughters in this church, Lord. I pray for leaders, Lord. I pray for disciples, Lord. I pray for men and women, Lord God, that it's not an effort for them, Lord, but it's because they are compelled by the love of Christ, Lord, to go. Lord, to love, Lord God, to be the light of the world, Lord. To know that because Jesus is the bread of life, Lord God, they will be sustained in everything, Lord. Because you are the light of the world, the light is in us. And Lord, you will not put a light and put a something on top of it that we can't see it, Lord God. You put a light where everyone can see it, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that every member of this church will be a light, that everyone can see it, Lord God. Lord, that we will come through the door, Lord God. That we'll come with an openness, Lord God, a freedom into the presence of God. Into your presence, because we don't have to be the high priest anymore, Lord, and go through all these rituals. We can just come and in your presence, Lord, through the Holy Spirit, and be in your presence, Lord God, with thanksgiving and praise. We can just be with you every time we want to be, anytime we want to be, Lord God. We don't have to wait for the Day of Atonement anymore, that we can have the confidence that you are the Good Shepherd, Lord, that you love us, that you are good, that you will protect us, Lord, that you say if those who abide in the shelter of the Most High, no evil will befall upon you. I will give my angels command concerning you. 1,000 will fall on the one side and 10,000 on the other side, but I will be with you wherever you go. That God is saying, be bold and courageous. Do not fear nor be dismayed. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will uphold you in my righteous right hand. Lord God, that you are the resurrection and the life, Lord. And Father, we pray for lives, especially spiritual lives, to be resurrected, Lord, in this church, Lord God, to be filled, Lord, with the fire of God, Lord. Because you said, Lord, you will baptize us with your Holy Spirit and fire, Lord. Father, we pray for fire, Lord God. We pray for living water, Lord, to flow through us, Lord. Because you are the way, the truth, and the life, Lord, and that we will follow you, Lord, radically, Lord. But Father, that there will be favor, the favor of God and of man on the people of this church, Lord God, on these people, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, we just pray for a place where we can abide in you. Give us that hunger to be with you. And Father, I break every assignment of the enemy to prevent people from coming into your presence. Everything that causes shame, Lord. Everything that causes, I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. Father, I want to break those words over someone here tonight who feel I'm not good enough to come into the presence of God. That there's shame and that maybe you've been rejected. But I just want to say that's a lie of the enemy, and that's not who God sees you. God sees you and he's saying you are good and you're doing good. Not what you do, because You are His child and He loves you. He loves you. In the name of Jesus.